welcome to worship here at West End. We're so glad that you're here. You might have slipped and slid to get here, but we're so thankful to worship with you this morning. Good morning again, and welcome to worship here at West End. I have a few announcements for you. All activities this afternoon will be canceled due to the weather, but we're so glad to have worship this morning. On Tuesday, all of the Bible studies will be canceled. There's the two pastors' Bible studies, the one at 7 a.m. and the one at noon, because our pilgrims, including Michael, are still in Tel Aviv with the weather and the snow. The flights have been canceled. So we're hoping that they get in either late Tuesday night or sometime on Wednesday. So if you know of a pilgrim traveling on the Holy Land, they say a word of prayer that they make it safely home with all the weather. But our Wednesday night activities, good Lord willing and the creek don't rise, we will have them. Dinners at 5, then we'll have our Bible studies. It's not too late to sign up. There's two fabulous ones going on, and then there'll be two studies starting in Lent. Make sure you check that out on the online. Go to the front page, click on it, it's right there. But join us for those Bible studies and register. The last announcement is that next Sunday, we will start West End 101. West End 101 is basically to know a little bit more about the United Methodist tradition, West End, ways to be involved. If you want to join us for that, we would love for you to. It's going to be down at McWhirter Hall between the 8:45 and the 11 o'clock service. So those are your announcements for this morning. The snow. covers everything and transforms our daily routine. May the love of God cover us and change our routines.
The body of Christ. God has called us to do sacred work.
Let us journey together in Christian love.
Today we recognize that we are each in desperate need of the grace of God. Therefore, acknowledging the full depth of our brokenness, let us now join together in the prayer of confession. Holy and awesome God, we stand in your presence, filled with regret for our many sins and failings. Though there is greatness in us and a deep longing for goodness, we have often denied our better selves and refused to hear your voice, calling us to rise to the full height of our humanity. For there is weakness in us as well as strength. At times we choose to walk in darkness, our vision obscured. We do not care to look within, and we are unwilling to look beyond at those who need our help. O God, we are too weak to walk unaided. Be with us as a strong and wise friend, and teach us to walk by the light of your truth. Through the generosity of God, our confession is heard, and we are forgiven, restored, and equipped to boldly use our gifts in the world. Thanks be to God. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Travis Buckley Hollett and Emily Lombard Hollett bring their daughter, Sarah Scott Hollett, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
The congregational response is actually in the 845 bulletin. So if you will turn in your hymnals to page 34 and 35, I will ask them the questions, and then you as a congregation will respond to the reading on page 35. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without a price. Emily and Travis, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord, in union with the church which Christ has opened to all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and lead a Christian life? Congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and commitment to Christ? If you do, answer by saying, "We do."
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with the community of love and forgiveness, that she may grow in her service to others.
We will pray for her
that she may be a true disciple who walks in a way that leads to life. Amen. If you'll pray with me. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that in dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. What name is given this child? Sarah Scott. Sarah Scott, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Let us pray with her. The Holy Spirit work within you, that you, being born through water and the Spirit, may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all of your days. Amen. All right. There we go. We're going to walk to the center.
Will the congregation please stand and face Sarah Scott? Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Sarah Scott to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Sarah Scott. And we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Please join me in our prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Epistle to the Corinthians. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable we clothe with great honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and then deeds of power, then gifts of healings, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Unless you're a kid and you'd like to come forward and join us in the front, you may bring a parent or another adult with you if you'd like. Good morning. Did you have fun playing in the snow this weekend? Yeah. I want to tell you a story. When I was younger, when I was a kid, I went on a camping trip with a bunch of kids and some adults. And none of the kids knew, we didn't know each other before we started on the trip. But we got to know each other pretty quickly, and a lot of us became good friends right away. But there was one girl who was pretty different. She kind of talked differently, she dressed differently, and she didn't really fit into our group. I didn't really pay too much attention to her until one of the adults came up to me one day, and they said, "Aaron, Kara really needs a friend. Would you mind being her friend this week?" Well, honestly, I didn't really want to be her friend. I was having fun with my other friends. But I said yes, and I started talking to her a little bit. And the more I got to know her, the more I discovered that she was actually pretty neat. She knew a lot of stuff that I didn't know that she could share with me. Later in the week, we had a big campfire one night, and I started to get a really bad headache. And so I had to go back into my tent and lay down. And you know what? That friend, Kara, came and sat with me. All the other kids were out by the campfire having a good time, but she left the campfire to come and sit with me. And she was a really good friend to me. And I was glad that I had taken the time to get to know her, even though she was pretty different. Let's have a prayer. Dear God, we thank you for all of our friends, even the folks who are different from us, because we know that we can learn from them and that they too can be good friends to us. Help us to learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, guys. Well, now we know. All of you really suffer from cabin fever. I'm glad that you were able to venture out this morning and make it safely to us. Let's have a prayer. Oh God, may the words that I speak and the thoughts that we think be acceptable to you, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. When I was in college, a friend of mine and I studied abroad in Costa Rica. Most weekends after our classes were over, she and I would travel together throughout the country. Now, I have to tell you, my friend was fluent in Spanish. She was a Spanish major. She could pretty much talk to anybody and was very, very fluent. But up until that point, I'd only had a couple of years of high school Spanish, and my skills were basically limited to telling you my name and telling you that I don't speak Spanish. On the other hand, I was pretty adept at reading maps, and I'm really pretty good about finding my way around. My friend, on the other hand, has a terrible sense of direction. We used to joke that she could get lost between her house and our school, and they were on the same street. On our own, each of us would have had a really hard time getting around. But together, we made a pretty good team. Quite literally, we needed each other. All of us need companions for our travels. Whether it's someone who can drop us off at the airport or friends we meet at our destination, we all need others to support us on our journey. Even folks who do solo treks around the world need to plan stops where they can rest and fill up on supplies, maybe take a shower and enjoy a hot meal, all thanks to the support and care of others. If you haven't noticed, or if you haven't been here, this month we've been talking about pilgrimage. Michael Williams and a group from our church have been in the Holy Land, and hopefully they'll return in the next day or two. But pilgrimage is actually going to be a focus for us, for our congregation, throughout the year. You see, we're always on a pilgrimage. Our faith is a journey, at least it's meant to be, and we all need places along the way where we can rest and fill up on what our souls need, start afresh, and maybe even enjoy a hot meal. So this year we're talking about pilgrimage as a way to draw attention to learning and doing and being and caring on our journey of faith. And all pilgrims need support and care for their journey. In our scripture lesson today, Paul introduces the church at Corinth to a metaphor about the body. And actually, he's not really introducing it. The comparison of the body with a community of people is one that the Corinthians probably actually were very familiar with. It was a common theme in classical literature. In Roman society, the metaphor of the body was often used to maintain hierarchy among the social classes and keep those lower classes in their place. The brain, for example, could be understood as so much more important than some of those lesser, less essential parts of the body. Those lowly parts should just be grateful that they have a brain telling them what to do, right? It makes sense. Really, where would any of us be without a brain? Just ask the scarecrow. But Paul twists that meaning and turns it on its head and instead points out the significance of those so-called lowly parts. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? His point is that in the body of Christ, all parts are significant. All parts are important. All parts are interdependent. In the body of Christ, we need each other. In her commentary on this text, Pastor Raewyn Whiteley reminds us that we come to the water of baptism as individuals, independent and relatively self-contained. We come out of that water changed. Our identity is no longer solitary. We can no longer truly be known without reference to that community into which we have been incorporated, the body of Christ, the church. Sarah Scott is no longer just Sarah Scott. She is a part of the body of Christ, a beautiful addition. In the passage just prior to this one, Paul offers a discourse on the gifts of the Spirit. Nancy preached on this passage last week. To each of us is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, Paul says. In other words, each of us has been given gifts, not merely for the sake of having them, but so that we might share them for the common good within the church. We're not meant to do this faith thing on our own. We're Christ's body, each of us gifted, each of us important, all of us interdependent. We need each other. But that's such a countercultural idea, isn't it? We live in a society that celebrates independence, self-sufficiency, and picking yourself up by your bootstraps. Needing others can be seen as a sign of weakness at best and laziness at worst. Now, independence isn't all bad after all. Independence and self-sufficiency can be really helpful and valuable traits. But taken too far, they can also disconnect us from ourselves and others in ways that aren't helpful or healthy. If one member suffers, Paul says, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. But what does he mean by that? What does it really mean to suffer with one another? I struggle with that question all the time, and I'm in the congregational care business. When other people suffer, whether they're dealing with illness or grief or financial troubles or anything else, it's so hard to know what to say. We want to fix things, but we can't, or we don't know how. And we don't want to offend people by infringing on their independence or making them think that we're just trying to be nosy. So we say, let me know if you need anything, and we leave it at that. But the problem with that offer, and believe me, I've said that a lot, is that it requires the person needing care to be proactive, to know what they need, and to be assertive in asking for it. And sometimes they just don't have the capacity to do that. And in the end, isn't that phrase kind of a distancing thing? It allows me to feel better about offering help without actually having to step toward their pain and enter into their suffering with them. It's so much easier to keep our distance than to get in the trenches with others where things can get awkward and messy. And yet, we're called to be the body of Christ. And Christ is already there in the trenches with them. Eugene Peterson offers this paraphrase of Paul's words. If one part hurts, every part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. When we involve ourselves in the hurt of others, when we enter into their suffering with them, we can also be involved in the healing. Now, does that mean that we can make someone's illness go away or fix their relationships or bring their loved one back? No, of course not. But God has given each of us gifts for the common good. Each of us has something to offer another person, even if it's simply the assurance that he or she doesn't suffer alone. In her book, My Grandfather's Blessings, Rachel Naomi Remen says, "Perhaps the most important thing we bring to another person is the silence in us. Not the sort of silence that is filled with unspoken criticism or hard withdrawal. The sort of silence that is a place of refuge, of rest, of acceptance of somebody as they are. We are all hungry for this other silence. It's hard to find. In its presence, we can remember something beyond the moment, a strength on which to build a life. Silence is a place of great power and healing. Silence is God's lap." Have you ever heard the phrase, "God with skin on"? We are the body of Christ. We have the awesome privilege and responsibility of being God with skin on to one another. If one part hurts, we don't shy away, but we enter into the suffering because we know that God can work through us to bring about healing, and we need each other. And then there's our own need for care. Opening ourselves up to receiving care from others is sometimes, I think, even harder than knowing how to care for them. We don't want to be a burden on anybody. We don't want to make anybody go out of their way to do something for us. And we really don't want to admit that we don't have it all together, that we might not be able to pick ourselves up by our bootstraps, or that we might have lost our boots altogether. It can seem easier to suffer in silence, to decline genuine offers of help and care, than to share our troubles with others. In her book, Searching for Sunday, Rachel Held Evans offers this reflection. "My mother," she says, "used to tell me that we weren't the type of people to air our dirty laundry. What she meant was good Southern girls didn't go around talking about their troubles or divulging their secrets. But this is a cultural idiom, not a Christian one. We Christians don't get to send our lives through the rinse cycle before showing up to church. We come as we are. No hiding, no acting, no fear. We come with our materialism, our pride, our petty grievances against our neighbors, our hypocritical disdain for those judgmental people in the church next door. We come with our fear of death, our desperation to be loved, our troubled marriages, our persistent doubts, our preoccupation with status and image. We come with our addictions to substances, to work, to affirmation, to control, to food. We come with our differences, be they political, theological, racial, or socioeconomic. We come in search of sanctuary, a safe place to shed the masks and exhale. We come to air our dirty laundry before God and everybody, because when we do it together, we don't have to be afraid. Indeed, we are the body of Christ. We actually honor God and one another when we're honest about our hurts and our hard times. That might seem counterintuitive because our culture tells us that showing our vulnerabilities is a sign of weakness. But we are part of the body of Christ, the same Christ who took on the vulnerability of human skin, the same Christ who entered into our suffering for our sake, the same Christ who defeated death in the name of love. It's part of our DNA as Christians to open ourselves up to loving and being loved. And what is caring but love in a tangible form? When we accept care from others, we give them the opportunity to be God with skin on to us, to use their gifts to participate in our healing. Will our physical, emotional, or spiritual burdens go away when we do this? Not necessarily. But we won't have to carry our burdens alone. And maybe, just maybe, We'll help one another grow through the experience. Reverend Dr. Janet Hunt is a pastor who says, "We are indeed Christ's body together, you and I. This is who we are. This is who we are privileged to ever more deeply become. It will be a journey worth taking, even or especially as we step into or towards pain in ourselves or in another. We won't be worse for it. No, the promise is that in the end, the whole body will be better and stronger for it, and even more fully all that God intends us to be." In our pilgrimage of faith this year, may we seek out companions for our journey. May we care for others, offering our gifts for the common good. And may we be open to receiving care. We are, after all, the body of Christ, God with skin on. We belong to one another. We need each other. Thanks be to God. Amen.
I invite the third graders and their parents, guardians, to come and stand at the communion rail here for us. And as you come, make sure you bring your bulletin with you, because our liturgy is there. Our second and third grade small group leaders are going to come and join me up here on the inside of the communion rail, so that as we call your name, they will help to present your Bible. So we can spread out on both sides of the communion rail if we need to. I appreciate everyone coming and being here this morning. So today is a special day in the pilgrimage of these third graders. The Bible is usually given to third graders in the church because they are now old enough to read the Bible themselves, talk about it with their parents, their friends, and their leaders at church, and learn from the Bible what it means to be a follower and a friend of Jesus Christ. So, as I already mentioned, we have some of our second and third grade small group leaders who are here. Some of our leaders are on the pilgrimage to the Holy Lands and aren't here today. But they're going to help me with presenting the Bible. And also, we're going to present you with a workbook that you can use at home to help you with your learning to use your new Bible. Okay? So, Lily Catherine Bury. William Sergey Dalton Dry. Connor James Harris. Margaret May Jenkins. Elizabeth Maccabee Kiefer. Henry Maccabee Kiefer. Kaylin Margaret Rourke. Vivian Margaret Sanders. So, parents, and if you will help me as we, and join me in our litany that we find printed in our bulletin. Receive the Word of God, learn its stories, and study its words. Its stories belong to us all, and these words speak to us all. They tell us who we are. They tell us that we belong to one another. So I don't know whether they have a bulletin, but we'll try to share. So if you guys can respond to us. OK. Okay? We receive these Bibles with our hands, our hearts, and our minds. Good job. So will the congregation please stand and join and respond with me to this is our promise and commitment to the children. We rejoice in this step in your faith journey. We pray God will guide you, your family, and us as you use this Holy Bible in your home, in your small group, and in our worship. We will learn together and grow in our love for God's Word. Thanks be to God. Good job. Y'all can go back and have a seat. Thanks, guys.
Good morning again, and welcome to worship. If you're a first-time guest among us, we extend a warm welcome to you. We're so thankful that you came out. Usually we invite you to coffee and Reed Hall, but that will be postponed to your next visit. So come back next week and join us for coffee and fellowship and learn more about how to be involved. Also, my announcement in the beginning about West End 101 starting next week was incorrect. It will start the first week of February. So if you're a first-time guest or a regular member and want to learn more, join us the first week of February. In the pew racks in front of you, you'll notice a gray card. On one side, you can record comments for staff or lay leadership. On the other, you can put a prayer request. Please note if you would like for one of us to give you a call and make sure you put your contact information down. We will be passing the offering plates in a moment. You can put the card in there. Also, there is a attendance pad in the middle aisle. If you'll record your attendance and pass it along to one another so we can know who is worshiping with us. This morning, our sympathies are extended to Peggy and Bob Sewell, who are mourning the death of Peggy's sister, Mary Jo Cox. She died January 10th in Stratford, Texas. Now let us turn our hearts to the living God and offer our spoken and unspoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, none of us are the same. We have different gifts and abilities, yet you love each of us and long for us to love one another. You, O Christ, prayed that all might be one. May your presence be with all those who feel separated and alone. You, O Spirit, call us to be one body. May your presence be with all those who feel fractured or splintered from the church, their families, or their home. O God, in your love, unite us. Make us one in love, so that if one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. O Spirit of unity, judge, restore, and call us again. Bestow on us the gifts that connect us so that we and all people may have life in all its fullness. And now we join together in the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As God's gifted people, let us offer our gifts back to God. Thank you.
You may be seated, and I'd like to invite a few folks to come forward. They are going to be taking membership vows today and joining us. We had a few other folks who had been planning to come this morning and couldn't quite make it, so they'll join another day. But we're glad to have these folks with us. I'd like to first introduce you to Olivia Ilagan. Olivia is married to Nestor, who's a member of the Catholic Church. She's a retired accountant, and she is transferring from another United Methodist church. Next is Lee Parmley. Lee is a professor and chief of staff at Vanderbilt Medical Center, and he's transferring from the Baptist Church. And then Jeff Ackerman. Jeff is the director of health planning with the Tennessee Department of Health, and as you can see, he's been a member of the choir for a while, and he is transferring from another United Methodist church. Lee, this first question is for you. As a member of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. Now to all of you. As members of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. Will the congregation please stand and join me in affirming our newest members. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Olivia, Lee, and Jeff are now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you. and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Now may the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen. These folks are going to be out these side doors, and I invite you to greet them on your way out the door. Thank you. Now, friends, may we go forth to be the body of Christ in the world. May we be God with skin on to all we meet. And may we remember that we need each other. Go in peace. Amen.